the Food for Lane County Youth Farm, Learning While Growing. This is the 30th program in our 2017-2018 programming year. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. The club, City Club brings together civic-minded people to make Eugene a better place to live, work, and play. We are a member-supported nonprofit. Our members have a direct influence on public policy. Become a member of City Club at cityclubofeugene.org. And now I'm going to deviate a little bit from our regular program, and I'm going to ask that Joel Corin, our new president, come forward, and he has a few remarks that he would like to make. So thanks, Joel.
Thank you. I want to tell you what a great honor it is to become president of the City Club. I repeat what Sandra said about the board members who have served in the past. I want to thank them, and I want to tell you how very excited I am about the three new additions to the board that you voted on. Paul Thompson is the James Brown of City Club Finances. He's the hardest working man in City Club Finances, out there looking for members, looking for sponsors, and he and I drink a lot of coffee together. Robin Fletcher is joining the board. She's been our treasurer for a number of years before having to go off the board, and she's coming back, and I look forward to her advice and her wisdom. And Kyle Shavir is an excellent young addition, and I look forward to his many years of service on the board. We are going to make some changes. We're going to have all our program committee meetings and our board meetings at night on Wednesdays, and that will allow more working people to get to the meetings and participate. We are going to, what we sell are the programs here at City Club. And the main focus this year is to continue the great programming and increase the quality of the programming. I hope to involve the University of Oregon more. They have many resources, many speakers on a number of different topics that can help us. Another area of focus is going to be on fundraising and membership. And we will try to organize and systematize, it's easy for me to say, our fundraising efforts next year and get more members and sponsors. You can help. There will be a number of programs where there will be a bring a friend, and I'm going to ask you to help me by bringing somebody, introducing them to City Club. You got to get involved. If you want to be on a committee, please let me know, joelcorin@gmail.com. That's J-O-E-L-K-O-R-I-N at gmail.com. Let me know what you want to do, and we'll talk about it and make some appointments. Now, in my nearly 50 years of married life, my wife, Callan, who's sitting over there, has one rule for these type of speeches. She's been with me for many installation dinners, award dinners, and the one rule that she has as to whether it's a good speech or not is whether the speaker mentions his wife. Everything else doesn't matter. And I'm up here today, literally and figuratively, because of her support. Figuratively because of her support, and literally because when we moved here, after we retired, she said to me, I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch. So it was my job to go out and find lunchtime meetings, and City Club was perfect. So every Friday I'm gone. The board meetings and the program committee meetings were on Wednesday. I'm gone. Lunch with Paul every now and again, gone. This morning she told me, see you next year. So I hope that you will help me this year. I hope that you will help bring the City Club to newer and greater heights as a force in the community for providing civil and civic discourse. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joel. So this is Sandra Bishop, City Club, well, past president now, almost. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Jerry Diethelm, architect, landscape architect, Lou Voss Cobb, attorneys at law, LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, and a diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente, exists to provide high-quality, affordable healthcare services and to improve the health of their members and the communities they serve. More information at www.kp.org. And special thanks to PacInfo and Simplified Computing LLC and KLCC Radio. City Club programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 p.m. on Mondays following the program. The coordinator of today's program is, it's me, all right. I was lucky. I was able to get a hold of the Food for Lane County folks that run the youth gardens, so this will be a good program. So I'm not going to take any extra time to introduce the speakers. They're in your flyer. Speaking first will be Jen Anonia. Jen is the Food for Lane County Garden Program Manager. And by garden, we mean food. There's some flowers, but mostly food. So Jen's going to speak first. And then Kaya Brown, one of the youth farmers, who's a youth farm crew leader, will speak next. And then Ted Purdy, youth farm coordinator, who's primarily responsible for the day-to-day operations, will speak. So these folks will speak, make some brief remarks, then we'll take our regular 5-minute break, or probably 3 minutes or less. So get your questions ready, and then we'll come back. We'll have time for questions. So thank you, Jen.
Well, thank you, Sandra, for inviting us to speak. We're thrilled to be here, and the youth farm is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm always excited to have the opportunity to talk with people who maybe don't know about it or haven't experienced it, and about what we're about and the work that we're doing out there. So the youth farm is part of Food for Lane County Gardens program, which also includes the Grassroots Garden and Seed to Supper, which is a 6-week beginning gardening class that we teach throughout the county. The Gardens program meets Food for Lane County's mission of alleviating hunger by growing food, building skills, and nurturing community. So for nearly 25 years, Food for Lane County has grown a vegetable farm on land owned by Springfield Public Schools in North Springfield. We steward over 5 acres of a nearly 10-acre lot, and that lot is surrounded by homes, so it's very much an urban farm. And we share the rest of the lot with perfect partners, Willamette Land Parks and Recreation, which created the community garden that's on site, which is managed by another nonprofit, Huerto de la Familia, or the Family Garden, and also with Springfield Public Schools Youth Transitions Program, who run the Youth Transitions Garden, which is also on site. And so together with these other organizations, we create an agricultural oasis in the middle of a food desert in North Springfield. So I'm hoping I'm tempting you to come out and really experience it and see it, because our words and the few photos up here really can't do the farm justice. So at the youth farm, Food for Lane County staff work with volunteers of all ages and backgrounds to grow fresh organic produce for Food for Lane County's network of 150 different partner agencies. And then those agencies distribute that fresh food and all the other food Food for Lane County collects to those in our community who are struggling to put food on the table. We consider our volunteers who help us in this work not just laborers in the field, but participants in the work that we do and in our educational programming, as well as our community building efforts. So everybody who comes out to the farm and participates and helps out is also welcome to share in the harvest. That's a way for us to distribute some of that produce and also to really engage the community. Our farm becomes their farm and their garden. Some of our volunteers have been coming weekly out to the farm for 16 years or more, so that shows their commitment and dedication and just the fact that they're contributing and learning while coming out and joining us. Others come once a year, possibly in a group with their place of work, and so then they're able to build camaraderie with their fellow coworkers while helping us in our mission. Faith-based organizations visit regularly as part of their service work in the community. And we have lots and lots of students who come out to the farm, and it ranges from the primary grades through university. They may come as part of their regular classroom activities, a special field trip to come out to the farm. They may come to do service learning, or they may have community service hours they need to complete before graduation. Lots of different reasons why students come out and participate with us. We also have a great collaboration with the School Garden Project, and they're another nonprofit in town, and they work with Guiley Elementary students, and Guiley is very close to the youth farm. They have a school garden there, but as part of their school garden activities and their farm-to-school educational activities, they bring students out in the fall and the spring to the youth farm, and they're actually able to walk from school to the farm through the neighborhoods and then end up at the youth farm. So that's a special relationship we have with Guiley and the School Garden Project. We also, every year, have three interns that are with us for this season. They are participating in all aspects of the farm, and they're usually young adults who have some background in farming or maybe not, but want to really improve their farming skills, become young farmers in our community, potentially. And so every week, they have educational lessons that they do, as well as participating in on-farm activities and learning everything about running a small-scale farm. But the heart of the youth farm is really our summer youth leadership program that we run every year. And so students from different schools and youth organizations apply in the spring for a position on our youth farm crew. And then 18 are chosen. And it's more than just a job experience. The youth farmers receive minimum wage for their work. They also, every week, go through, have educational activities where they learn about gardening, nutrition, teamwork, and developing leadership skills. They also learn about financial literacy, so they can wisely use that paycheck they receive every 2 weeks. But beyond the work and the lessons that they participate in is really what I think is the strength of the program, or maybe in addition to what they're learning, is the relationships that they develop with the staff, with each other, the community that they build, and then also their relationship with the plants and with the land that they're learning to care for. And I really, their hard work to benefit others in our community often results in a transformative experience for the youth farmers. They gain a greater sense of themselves, what they can accomplish, and the role that they can play in shaping their world. It's truly a remarkable thing to be a part of every year. And I'm going to stop there and introduce Kaya, because Kaya's here. As Sandra said, she has been a youth farmer with us now. This is her fourth season. She started as a youth farmer, and then the next year she ran our produce stands, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And now, last year and this year, she's an extended season youth farm crew leader. So truly remarkable young woman, and we are very privileged to have her be a part of our team out at the farm.
So as Jen said, I'm working on my fourth season at the youth farm. I started when I was 15, and I've had the opportunity to come back and be a part of this youth leadership program every year. Which basically gives me a lot of time to reflect on my experience as a youth farmer. And it's pretty much something that I will talk about with anybody who will listen, and that's because of this amazing sense of accomplishment that, in my opinion, you can't get anywhere else. That might kind of be a biased farmer opinion, because of course I can't get it anywhere else. But it's also something that I don't think my 15-year-old self would have sought out or really been introduced to otherwise. And it's a sense of accomplishment from not only knowing that you're doing something for the community, but you're also building these skills that you'll carry on throughout the rest of your life. Excuse me. In my own personal experience, as a youth farmer, I've gained many fundamental skills that have seeped out into almost every other aspect of my life, from these responsibilities that not a lot of teenagers really get the opportunity to have, but also from all these educational activities that Jen talked about. That little part at the top of my resume where you write all your admirable skills, I can probably say that the youth farm has helped me write that list. It's also gotten me thinking about my future. I'm now going to school pursuing some sort of career in botany, and it kind of terrifies me to think about where I would be had I never kind of kickstarted this interest that I didn't even know I had before my time at the youth farm. Overall, my experience at the youth farm has been nothing but positive. It's had a completely positive effect on myself, and from seriously hard work that leaves you tired and beat, like wishing I could take a nap in a corn patch for the rest of the day, but also this sense of accomplishment that comes from all of this amazing work, which ends up being like the driving force in all these leadership skills you gain. And that's my experience as a youth farmer.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ted Purdy. I'm the youth farm coordinator for Food for Lane County, essentially the farm manager at the farm. I've been in my position for the previous 15 years. The farm's about to enter its 25th year, which is a pretty exciting milestone for us. We've had a long, long history. Myself and Jen have been there the longest, and we've seen, you know, incredible participants over the years. It's been a real joy to work out there. Kaya, who just spoke, has been, you know, an exceptional participant, and we're so lucky to have her out there working with us. We've had, you know, dozens and dozens of young people work with us over the years, and they still come around and visit us on occasion. A lot of them we see for, you know, those few months in the summer when they're out of school and they have a wonderful experience, and then some we never see again. And others come back as young adults or as adults, maybe with their kids, because we've been doing this long enough now. And it's been really touching to see the effect this program's had on their lives. And as employees working with these young people, we've been able to mentor them and really have a really positive impact on a lot of these youth lives. You know, like Jen mentioned earlier, it's a place of refuge. So a number of these youth that we work with, not all of them, come from some pretty rough backgrounds. And coming to the farm to a beautiful, peaceful place where they're being respected, they're working hard, they're working with peers, they're having a good time. This is a peaceful place for them to be and to work. And so they've really valued that and have had a wonderful experience. And I think one of the greatest successes I've determined from our work is each year we develop a crew that comes in as mostly strangers. You know, we work throughout the year, and by the end of our 3 months together, it's a pretty short season when the kids are out of school, most of them, we do a final celebration at the end of the year, and it's really this heartwarming event. Everybody shares with each other positive aspects about each other, and by the end of it, there's group hugs and, you know, kids saying goodbye with tears in their eyes. It's a really wonderful community that gets built out here. And we're so lucky to work with these young people out there. So I spend my days out at the farm, and so I'm out there leading a lot of people, teaching a lot of people, and the youth farmers are a big part of what we do, no question about it. But we're open basically all year round, except for the real heart of winter time when we shut down for a month or so. So we have a lot of other participants to help make the farm operate, certainly. So we have some other wonderful staff that work with us. Our field coordinator's name's Michaela Hammer, who's out at the farm right now working hard, leading people, who's an exceptional farmer and educator that we have on staff to help lead people out there. We also have a young adult, a mid-20-year-old named Michael Lee, who's an exceptional employee as well, who used to be a youth farmer when he was in high school, and he worked for the farm a second year and then as an intern, and now he's on staff. So he's a seasonal staff member. So we've had, again, a long history of people participating who want to stick around and want to come back. So every year we get lots of applicants. And the hardest part of this job with the youth program is choosing who to hire and who to hire back. So our new crew was just hired this past week, and they'll begin in 2 weeks, and we're excited to get them started. Like Jen mentioned, we also have lots and lots of volunteers that come out. Over the course of the year, we average about 7,000 to 8,000 volunteer hours over the course of the year. So, you know, again, sometimes it's individual volunteers have been coming for years. Other times it's one-time visits by a student who needs to do, you know, come and volunteer for a class that they take at the university or the community college. And then we get large groups. So we get these large groups that come out typically on Saturdays, but sometimes during the week as well. And we can have upwards of, you know, 40 to 50 people out there to keep busy. So as I think you get a sense, it's a busy little farm we have out there. We grow a lot of food. We also have a lot of people that come to work with us. And a lot of them, it's their first time ever working on a farm, which creates some challenges and also some wonderful learning opportunities. So we do a lot of training with people. Mind you, and people like Kaya and other youth that work for us and come back for a number of years get to help train those people. So our youth really get a strong opportunity to practice as being leaders, not only leading their peers, but leading adults. So we've had some youth farm crew leaders on our team leave after working for a number of years, and they can truly write on their resumes that they've led groups, they've taught people, they've been in supervisory roles, which is a really, you know, amazing opportunity for a young person. So there's not too many opportunities out there like that, I don't think, at least in the workforce. So getting into the farm, farm work that we do out there a little bit. So I think the scale out there might surprise people a little bit. 5 acres, if you're not familiar with how much 5 acres is, this isn't a garden. This is a substantial amount of land that we grow on. Again, Springfield School District's been very generous to let us grow on this land all these years. And it's amazing soil. We have class one agricultural soil out there. So this is where we want to be growing our food. It's been a farm for many, many years. What we're told is it used to be a dairy farm, you know, a long time ago. Now it's surrounded by homes, and it's the last, one of the last standing farms in the area there. And, you know, and having an urban farm within town where people, you know, can walk through it because it's not fenced in. We have kids that hang out in the park next to us, and they'll just be walking through. Maybe they don't have a care about us, but they're imprinting on what we're doing out there and the food we're growing. So people don't get to see farms that often because they're typically out in the country. So I think we're really fortunate to have a project like this that grows food in town so people can really see it and experience it and learn from it. So I think that's a real neat aspect of what we do. So we grow everything, not everything, but we grow about 50 crops out there, including fruit trees. We have about a half acre of fruit trees. We have 13,000 square feet of greenhouse space out there, which allows us to produce food year round. Being a food bank farm, there's never an end to the need for what we can provide for the food bank. Now, we grow a lot of food out there, and mind you, it's a small portion of what's distributed through Food for Lane County's vast network, but it's the healthiest food that goes in there, it's the freshest, and it's the least accessible for low-income people. You know, produce is expensive for, you know, for people to buy, and especially organic produce. Ours isn't certified, but we grow using organic practices. That food is often fairly exclusive territory for people that can afford it. So we do a lot of work to help remedy that in our small scale. So each year we produce somewhere around 115,000 pounds of produce per year, which is hard to fathom, but it's a lot of food. And we've been doing this for a long time. So I did the math on it. I'm a bit of a numbers guy. And we've produced over 1.5 million pounds of food in over the last 20 years that we have records on. So that's a lot of food helping people that really need it in this community. So the other half of the food that we produce, or half the food we produce, I should say, goes straight into the food bank system to get distributed through our vast network at Food for Lane County. The other half we sell to raise revenue for our project. You know, having up to 17 youth on the on staff in the summer and a number of staff that work there, our budgets has swelled over the years. So we do a good job of raising revenue by produce sales, which also, you know, gets more local food into the community and gives our youth an opportunity to sell the produce. So we host two farm stands throughout the season, starting in June, that go to the end of October. We do one at the farm on Flamingo Avenue in Springfield that we've been doing for 20 years. And we have youth that manage the sales of that market. So we're there every Saturday from the 1st of June to the end of October from 10 to 2. It's open to the public. And then we also, in the last 7 years, we've been hosting a market at Riverbend Hospital. If anybody's been there, it's outside. It's not in the hospital. You don't have to go in there. And it's on near the ER. So it's outside. We set up canopies under a really pretty area. There's great parking. Oregon Heart and Vascular Institute is our sponsor there and our point people. And we've, you know, again, we have youth that run that, and we have it's a very popular stand that people that work at the hospital in particular, it's pretty convenient. They're walking out, and they're on the way to their cars, and there we are. So so we do that as well. And we also have a CSA, which I'm sure a lot of you know about, a community-supported agriculture program, where we provide food to customers for typically a 20-week season. We're up to about 100-member CSA, which is a lot of food that gets distributed as well. There are other ways we distribute food as well, but those are the main ways. And then, you know, other big events that we do that fit in with our mission and help support the local food economy and food system here is we do a couple of large benefit plant sales. One happens in April at Grassroots Garden, one of our sites that we had recently that does really well. We've been doing for, you know, approximately 20 years. And then we have one at the youth farm called our summer plant sale that's coming up a week from Saturday, in fact, on May 12th. From 10 to 4, we'll be having a substantial plant sale. All the food, the plants that we grow are grown at the farm. And this is a huge event. We probably get over 1,000 people there. We'll have live music. Well, it's got a bit of a festival air to it. And we've, you know, the customers that have gotten plants from us over the years have commented over and over again how successful their gardens have been from our starts. So we do a real nice job with that. We have an incredible diversity. People love what we do, and we encourage you to come check that out. It's a really fun event coming up soon. So, you know, food access, like I was talking about earlier, for low-income people is an important topic to us in our work that we do at Food for Lane County. So we, in particular, at our farm stands, we really try to make our food as affordable as possible. It is a fundraiser, but we also, you know, for example, customers that use their SNAP or WIC coupons, we match those up to $10 for SNAP participants, and also match up to $4 for WIC customers using direct nutrition coupons, which are for low-income seniors and women with children and infants. So there's ways we do our best to make our food affordable. You know, of course, we give out half of it through our agency, but we also want people to be able to buy it. And so we really strive to make that an accessible situation with us. We also do a sliding scale with our CSA, so people can choose to purchase on the scale that they can afford. So, you know, we also do a number of public workshops. We do, you know, gardening workshops. I teach a number of workshops to aspiring farmers in the area, and we've had a long history of training lots of farmers to be, who now own farms now or are heavily involved in the food system locally and throughout the country. So we've had a long, successful history, and we couldn't do it without all our wonderful youth and volunteers and staff and all people involved. But I'd say the greatest strength is in our community building and the network that connects the people to their food and, even more importantly, to each other. We find it to be very valuable, important work, and we welcome you to learn more about us. So we have certainly on our website, foodforlanecounty.org, there's more information. You can find us on social media as well. And I'd like to open it up to questions, if we could.
We'll take a break.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, I just have one complaint. I was hoping I could pay Ted not to tell anybody about the produce market at the hospital. It is the best produce market. I've lived in this area. I've been a farmer. I've lived in this area for ever, 40 years, and that is the best market you are ever going to find. And it is so encouraging to go there. You have to go there early because they run out of food usually every time. But you see the young people, they're there, their math skills, they're making change, they're doing it. They know everything about what it is they're selling. It's a very wonderful service to have there. And I had no idea. It was actually a career path for young farmers. So thank you for the presentation today. So we're going to take just a short break, probably only 2 or 3 minutes, and come up with some questions, and we'll see how much time we have left. And if anyone has questions, we'll do a Q&A. Thank you.
You're listening to KLCC, informing and inspiring listeners for more than a half century. Broadcasting in HD at KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College.
All right, let's get back to our program. This is the May 4th, 2018 City Club of Eugene program. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. Our program today is the Food for Lane County Youth Farm, Learning While Growing. City Club is a nonprofit organization. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Jerry Detelm, architect, landscape architect, Luvas Cobb, attorneys at law, LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, Diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente, and special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, University of Oregon Academic Extension, Dot Dotson's Photography, and KRVM, 91.9 radio. Before we go to member questions, remember, keep your questions short and to the point. So first question, please, or first questioner.
Hi, Clay Stevens, City Club member since 2013. This is for really anyone to answer. Our table was wondering if there's requirements for applying and working at the youth farm.
So there's no real requirements. The youth have to be between the ages of 15 to 19. And the majority of our positions are for youth whose households fall under 200% of the federal poverty level. So that is a bit of an income requirement. They do fill out a 3-page application, and the majority are invited to the farm for an interview. So they have to go through that whole process. And for many, it's their first job that they're applying for, it's their first interview. And so that in and of itself, we feel is an education on how to do that.
Thank you. Great.
Ruth Damler, it seems that our question is really part of that. We were wondering at our table if you take in troubled youth too, youth that have had difficulties at school or in the neighborhood.
So that is a great question. We certainly have had a history of offering positions to some youth who have limited opportunities, certainly, not just income limitations. So we have worked with a number of kids that need that extra support. And to be honest, they're some of my favorite kids to work with. They're the kids that really need adult presence to really help them navigate entering adulthood. And they don't all succeed, I'll admit. But the ones that do and stick with it, it's been some of the most satisfying work. So we certainly have some kids that fit that category.
Kyle, would you like to say anything about that? That question about working with troubled youth? Have you had experience as a crew leader?
My experience as a crew leader and working with troubled youth has really been that the concept of troubled isn't really, it doesn't show through in their work at all. There's no, you can't tell who has problems at home or who doesn't when working out there, and it's really awesome to see.
Thank you.
Sure, certainly.
We've also worked with a lot of youth that are in the foster care system, and hats off to foster parents out there. It's a huge, huge job, and there's a lot of people doing really good work. So,
thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for the work that you do. I was wondering if we could expand the topic a little bit and ask somebody to comment on how many people in Lane County, Food for Lane County feeds, or what?
Can we go with a lot?
Oh, somebody knows the answer to that question. We have, so do you want to answer it first? Or?
Sure, so Food for Lane County serves the emergency food needs of Lane County, Oregon, and it's approximately 78,000 people, and that's 1 in 5, I believe, qualify for emergency food assistance. It's higher for children. I believe right now it's 1 in 4. So there is a lot of need in our community, and we feel really good that we're providing super healthy food as well, like Ted talked about.
Go ahead, Mary.
This is Mary Layton. I've been a member of City Club since 2006. And I happen to know the answer to that question because I just gave a presentation on it last week. Food for Lane County, through its 150 partner organizations who deliver food, supports 405,000 meals every year. 405,000 meals and 34 food banks all over Lane County. Most of them clustered here, but everywhere you go, there's a food bank. Yeah. But my question was actually about employment, and you mentioned it, Ted. I'm thinking that agriculture is not actually a very big share of the employment scene, but there is one crop that is increasing in its need for agricultural workers, if not for the 18-year-olds, perhaps for the 21-year-olds. And I just wondered if you'd seen, I mean, legal crops are legal crops, and so I was wondering if you'd had any feedback on the extent to which agriculture does provide employment. It's not the same as manufacturing, it's not the same as city services, but what's the big scene, do you know? And do you see any flow through to the new crops coming up? Are you allowed to say? I don't want to be tactless, but I just thought, one of my neighbors at a HOA meeting recently said, he said, well, what do you do in life? And he said, oh, well, I'm a pot farmer. And I thought, oh, right, it's legal.
Okay. That's what you were talking about, the new crop that's coming up was cannabis? That's what you're asking about. And what was the question?
Well, the question was how big is agriculture in Lane County? So it this is a feeder into agricultural jobs, which is a good thing.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that. And great. Mary, thank you for having the answer to the number of meals. Yeah, that was good.
That's great. Thank you. Food for Lane County does a lot of wonderful work throughout our agency in lots of different ways. That question, that's certainly not our expertise, the crop that was alluded to. But as far as employment goes for agriculture in Lane County, there's positions out there, there's opportunities. Even in the work that, say, Jen and I have been doing as farm garden educators for years, there was maybe only 3 or 4 staff-type positions, living wage jobs, when I think I started 15 years ago. And now there's 5 times that with certain organizations in the garden and farm urban community that's really expanded. And as far as farms out in the country, in particular where most of them are located, there's positions out there. It's not always desirable work for everybody. So in our youth that work on our farm, certainly a very small percentage of them, I would say, are drawn to do this as a career. But the ones that do, they've got a good foothold in it, and they can stand out when they're applying for a position at these farms. But there are jobs out there. It's a long road to hoe, as they say. And there's more and more opportunities. And like was alluded earlier, that is a growing industry. And it's still working with plants, I think. So I think these are horticultural skills that very well might lead to other employment for some of our participants and others.
Thank you. Yeah, and please go right ahead.
And I feel like a lot of the things that the youth who work with us are learning, they may not take that into an agricultural career, but they can definitely take it into many, many other careers. So just learning how to work together, learning how to work hard, understanding what their rights are as an employee and how well they should be treated as employees, I think is also really valuable. And just that self-confidence that they gain, too, can really carry them. And, you know, Kaya alluded to the long list of skills that she can put on her resume after working at the youth farm, and they're not just agricultural skills. So.
Thank you. Jerry.
Jerry Smith, City Club member. I volunteered at the Grassroots Gardens for about a decade.
All right,
and
great.
And I saw Jen and Ted on a regular basis there, blessing the project in so many ways, providing materials, providing help, providing brains, all kinds of things. And I would see kids that came to the Grassroots Gardens for community service. And if they really liked farming, there was a good chance that Ted would hire them to keep going. Recently, I've been working with a homeless kid, and he had a good experience at the youth farm. Don't want to mention the name, but we can do that afterwards. Are you getting many homeless kids? I know the number of children homeless is greatly rising, and the school system has special units that help children who are homeless. Are you getting them at the farm? Do you know that?
It really depends on the year. Some years, sure, we do work with youth who are homeless, or maybe they're partially housed, if that makes sense. Maybe they have friends or families that they stay with. Sometimes kids become homeless while they're working with us. So yeah, it is a big problem in our community, and we definitely see it. And it's harder for those youth to make it every day on time, prepared for work. And so you really see the impact that homelessness has on their productivity and their ability to be part of the community. It's much tougher than the kids that have some support at home and have a stable house to live in.
Thank you. Go ahead. We have plenty of time for some more questions, so don't worry.
Greetings. I'm Paul Thompson, City Club member. Thank you for coming today. I have a mechanical question for you, I think. You sell your produce to the public. You have a farm that's, I guess, is accessible by people walking through. Talk about the quality control that you have to exert on the food to make sure that it's safe, it hasn't been contaminated, and what kind of testing do you have to do, and maybe you'd explain that to us.
So this is Ted. I'll tackle that one. So we could always do better at these topics, certainly, but as far as safety of the produce out there, I mean, we don't live on site, but we have a caretaker that lives on site to keep an eye on the project when staff is not there. And, you know, all farms are open to open air. You know, we grow outside, so whether it's, you know, birds doing their business flying over or animals passing through, that sort of thing. So what we do what we can do. We certainly try to grow healthy plants when we're, you know, people use the restroom facility, of course, they're required to wash their hands before handling produce. We use certainly potable water, city water, to wash our produce. You know, there's various things we do on farms to send it off as clean and as safe as we can. We sell directly to customers and have for a long time, and have never heard anybody come back with issues, and that's pretty common for local farms. I've been doing this for a long time around here. And but that said, there's, you know, some of it's unknowns. We don't do, or aren't required at this point to do strict testing on, you know, bacterial issues and so on. That may be coming down the line for bigger farms that sell to wholesale distributors or grocery stores. There's more of that protocol in place, simply because that food gets distributed further and wider in the food network. So at this point, smaller farms typically aren't required to do strict testing like that.
Thank you.
Mike Rose, City Club member. Our table's question involves the sales farm stands. You mentioned in the discussion that people who qualify for SNAP and that those social programs are able to use their cards to access the food. also understand that currently the federal administration is not supportive of social programs. Do you see particular impacts on your program from what might be happening federally?
I can never keep numbers in my head, but I do know that there is. Kara, can you tell me how many millions of dollars of SNAP funds come into the community? Do you remember? So that was $9 million per month of economic activity is generated by SNAP dollars. And some of that goes to local farms. It certainly comes to our local farm as well. So the reduction in SNAP benefits is going to impact more than just the people who receive those benefits. And of course, as a food bank, we are very concerned about what's happening potentially to SNAP. And we know that we cannot meet the need if people are losing SNAP dollars. Even with all the resources Food for Lane County has, it's very small compared to the support that people receive from SNAP. And the impact is going to be felt much wider, like I said, by our economic community, local farms, retailers, everybody. So,
I have a question for Kaya. People are really curious. You really appreciate what you said during your remarks. You said that it kick-started your interest, and you used an interesting phrase. You said something about your 15-year-old self and how you might not have gotten yourself there. But I wanted to just talk with you and ask you, what is the most challenging thing being in that leadership position? And it's a farm crew leader, right? What are your crews like? What's the biggest challenge that you have in that role, in that job?
That's a really tough question. For me, I think the biggest challenge would probably be I'm building all of these amazing relationships with these people, and I'm getting to know them very well. But then going from that position of friendship to kind of telling them what to do or telling them not what to do is very difficult, because it's like I'm building such an amazing relationship with them, and then kind of trying to figure out how to explain to people my own age, where I definitely know what position they're in because I was in that position a few years ago, and kind of trying to guide them in the correct direction.
Great. Thank you. There's another question I think for all of you, and maybe Kaya can help, or one of you. I was clapping when Jerry was saying he was a volunteer, because I wanted to ask, and other people have said to me something about the youth farm, and a lot of people don't realize that you actually, an adult can go out and volunteer. So I wanted you to talk about, are there different types of volunteers? What are you looking for? How does a person get connected if they want to volunteer? What are they going to be doing? Just anything about the volunteer program. So a lot of people don't know about it.
So a little bit about the volunteer, something that I find like kind of amazing is people just walk up and say like, hey, I want a farm. And that's it. Then we start them on some task. And I think something really interesting or something really amazing about the volunteer is that you can come from anywhere and you don't need any skills or anything like that. You can just come and we'll get you started and have fun.
We try and make it very easy for people to get involved, and all of our staff are really equipped to make sure that the tasks that we give to individuals are appropriate for who they are, what their abilities are, what their interests are. And both at the Youth Farm and the Grassroots Garden, we have drop-in volunteer hours. So at the Youth Farm, it's Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 9 until 4, and anybody can come and volunteer during those hours. There's staff people present to get them oriented and set them up with a task. And at Grassroots, it just starting May 1st, it's Tuesday through Saturday, so 5 days a week from 9 until 4. And yeah, we have people from all ages, all walks of life. If they're young people, preschool age, elementary school age, we definitely want their parents with them or an adult with them. But yeah, we can find a task and a role for everybody.
All right, great. All right. So before we thank our speakers, there's a couple of announcements to make. We want to thank public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Mondays at 6:30. And thank you to Community Television of Lane County, Channel 29, for televising recent City Club programs. And a couple of announcements about upcoming programs. We have a special evening program, a fundraiser next week, Wednesday, May 9th. Please join us at 6 p.m. at Tsunami Books at 2585 Willamette for our Community Spotlight fundraiser. We're going to shine the spotlight first on our own organization. We're going to have our executive director, Silver Mogart, will be there. There's Silver in the back. And Silver will be interviewed by our new president-elect, Eric Richardson. So be sure to join us from 6 until 8. It's gonna, hopefully we have some snacks, maybe some music. It's a good opportunity to just get to know each other better and to see what our new director has to say and get to talk also with our new president-elect, Eric. So it's by donation anyway, and I'm sure you will all be very generous in your donations that night. But come one, come all, May 9th on Wednesday night. And then our next program, please join us for May 11th, Friday, our regular Friday forum, May 11th. Oh, the places you can go, careers in Lane County. This one is the project coordinators, Mary Layton, and we're going to have some of the businesses who've been hosting the teachers that go out into the community to experience what it is that the businesses do and what kind of job opportunities they're there. So Joel Corin and Mary Layton are the coordinators for that program. So be sure to be there. And that's next week, Friday, May 11th. And since this is my last time at a city club forum as president, I just want to really say what an honor it's been to be the president of City Club of Eugene this last year. At times it's been wonderful and fun. At other times it's been really hard work. And so it's been wonderful to be part of, and I will certainly not disappear. I'll be on committees and still be, and I'm looking forward to sitting in the back and just talking to people at these forums. But it's been really nice. City Club's going through a period of revitalization, and so it's been really nice to be part of that and to continue on. And so I just want to take the time to really thank our members, because it's the members who are the heart of City Club, and a lot of you are also the volunteers. And I thanked all the people in official positions on the board, but I really want to thank all of the steadfast members who are coming to the programs, giving good ideas, just continuing to keep the City Club alive and vibrant. And then I was reflecting on, what's the most important thing about being part of an organization and trying to be in leadership and working on committees and trying to get things done? And what comes to me is the most important thing is relationships and respect for each other. And we have that, and we're building on that. And so I think we really have taken the City Club through a kind of a difficult period in the last few years. And I should say financially. I mean, we just, dwindling members. There's a lot more to do at noon. Most people aren't quite as directive as Joel's wife to get him out of the house at noon. But now we have a much more diversified membership. So, we have members that can't often get away from work on Friday, but they're still willing to support City Club. And we've got our members that have been supporting for years. So thank you so much for what all of you bring to City Club. So I'd like to thank our speakers today, Jen, Anonia, Kaya Brown, and Ted Purdy for the wonderful program today. Thank you very much. Thank you. That concludes today's program.